The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment. Antichrist is coming to dominate the globe. He will be a satanic Superman.
It'll be a time when evil is unleashed with supernatural fury. But that's not the whole story. Coming up today, Pastor Greg Laurie points out the flip side.
Antichrist is coming. That's the bad news. Good news. Jesus Christ is coming before the Antichrist. Therefore, we should not be looking for Antichrist. We should be looking for Jesus Christ.
This is the day when the lost are found.
The Antichrist is a man shrouded in mystery. How could he be adored by so many and then soon bring death and destruction upon the planet? He'll bring a divided world together and then tear it apart. How can that be? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie gives us a detailed view of this man of sin, this son of perdition, from the clear vantage point of Scripture. Pastor Greg clears up the mystery and solidifies our hope in the soon return of Christ.
Today, we're back in our Daniel series that we're calling End of Days. And I'm going to ask you to turn to two passages, Daniel chapter 7 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the title of my message is Antichrist, America, and the End of Days. Let's talk about the Antichrist himself. He will be sent by Satan. If the devil ever had a son, this will be him. The Antichrist will be energized by Lucifer himself. But he's not going to be what you might expect, you know, dressed head to toe in black with glowing red eyes and steam coming off of him with a Darth Vader song playing in the background when he enters a room. No, I'm telling you, this guy will be charismatic. He'll be magnetic. He'll be a powerful orator. He'll be a convincing speaker. He will do what no man has ever been able to do before. He will establish a treaty between the Jewish and Arab nations that they will abide by, and he will pave the way for the long-awaited third temple in Jerusalem. He will be a satanic Superman, but it's all a mask hiding who he really is, the most evil man who ever lived. Daniel 7, verse 8, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots, and there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. We'll stop there. So if you're taking notes, here's point number one. Antichrist is coming to defy and take the place of Jesus. Antichrist is coming to defy and take the place of Jesus. A horn, as mentioned here in Daniel 7, 8, is a symbol of power in Scripture. But this horn has both eyes and a mouth, reminding us that this is a person that is being addressed. And I would also add this, the prefix anti does not only mean against, it also means instead of. So it's not just that this coming world leader, this beast, this charismatic politician extraordinaire is going to oppose Christ, and he will, but he also comes in the place of Christ. And for some, they'll believe he is the Christ, or he is their Messiah at least. But here's something else to know about Antichrist. Point number two, he is coming to declare war on believers. He's coming to declare war on believers. Daniel 7:25 says, then the saints will be given into his hand for time and times and half. Okay? So we'll read this phrase in Daniel and elsewhere. And basically it comes down to this. The Antichrist will inaugurate what is often called the Great Tribulation Period that will last for 7 years. In the beginning of the tribulation, the Antichrist will come off like a good guy. He'll come with his peace treaty. He'll come with his brilliant words. He'll come with economic solutions, and many will hail him and love him, and especially when he rebuilds the third temple for the Jewish people. But at the 3.5 year mark, the abomination of desolation takes place, and we'll talk about this more later too. But this is when the temple is rebuilt and it's desecrated by the Antichrist, marking the second section of the tribulation period where this coming world leader shows his true colors, and they're not pretty. He begins to persecute Jewish people, and he persecutes Christians, and he begins to rule by force. And so that is what this is referring to. Number three, Antichrist is coming to dominate the globe. He's coming to dominate the globe. Revelation 13:7 says, authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Now, again, I want to emphasize, how does he do it? Through war? No, initially through peace. The Bible says through peace he will deceive many. And so he'll establish peace, but then he'll be the ultimate man of war following that. Now, here's another interesting thing about him. Number four, Antichrist will establish global control through a cashless society. Antichrist will establish global control through a cashless society, requiring people to take a mark, and no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark under the reign of Antichrist. Now, I ask you, is this possible in technology today? Well, of course it is. We all know it is. So, you know, some of you are thinking, well, this is like the most depressing message I've ever heard. Okay, now let me pivot, change my direction. Antichrist is coming. That's the bad news. Good news. Jesus Christ is coming before the Antichrist. Therefore, we should not be looking for Antichrist. We should be looking for Jesus Christ. Don't waste your time trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. You say, well, I don't understand. What do you mean Jesus Christ is coming? I mean he's coming. He's coming back for his people. In fact, I don't even believe the Antichrist can be revealed until Christ comes for his people and what we call the rapture of the church. And I'll define that in a moment. But over in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it says, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And now he who restrains will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. So the Bible says, and then that wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord will destroy with the brightness of his coming. So let me simplify that. The Bible says, before Antichrist can be revealed, the restraining force, the thing that's holding him back, has to be removed. So what is the restraining force in the world today that keeps evil from spreading wholesale? It's Christians. It's Christians who stand up for what is true. Christians who speak out against what is wrong. Christians who make such a difference in every situation. Imagine if we were all suddenly just removed from the planet. You could see how all hell could literally break loose. So the restraining force is the work of the Holy Spirit through the church. Once the church is removed or caught up to heaven, I don't mean buildings, I mean people. Once we're caught up to heaven, Antichrist can begin his reign. You say, now you mentioned the word rapture. You know, I don't know that I've ever seen the word rapture in the Bible. Well, okay. And I know some people are critical of the rapture. The rapture's not in the Bible. Show me the word rapture. Okay, I'll show you the word rapture when you show me the word Trinity in the Bible. How about this? I'll show you the word rapture when you show me the word Bible in the Bible. The word Bible is not in the Bible. Did you know that? But we use that phrase. So you say, well, what does it deal with the rapture? The teaching of the rapture is clearly in the Bible many times. In fact, it's used 13 times in the New Testament. The word rapture is just a translation of a Latin word rapturus. So if you have a Latin translation, you have the word rapturus, okay? But the Greek word is harpazo. Harpazo. So don't get hung up on the word rapture. I'm just saying that there is an event coming. Call it the rapture. Call it the harpazo. Call it the great escape. Whatever you like. But it is a teaching that people are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The word harpazo can be translated to take forcibly, to snatch, or to catch up. The rapture is when Christ descends from heaven and we're caught up to meet him. Now, could we be the generation that sees the rapture? Yes. Are we the generation that will see the rapture? I don't know. No one knows. And by the way, no one knows the day or the hour. And every now and then someone comes along, I figured it out. I cracked the code after eating a lot of Cheetos and drinking Diet Coke. And here's the date. I already know they're wrong. Because when Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour of the return of the Son of Man, if you were to go back to the original language, it would translate no one knows the day or the hour. And what it means is no one knows the day or the hour. So we should avoid date setting at all costs.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. So many listeners have commented on the strength they receive from these daily messages. God's Word ministers to them, and it often gets them through some of their darkest hours.
Dear Pastor Greg, I listen to you through my iPhone app. Recently, I had listened to your sermon about how you handled your son's tragic death, and then I experienced something similar. My family was driving to meet me for Wednesday night Bible study at our church when they were struck head-on by an elderly man driving an SUV. I lost my husband, 16-year-old daughter, and a 4-year-old granddaughter in the accident. My 17-year-old daughter is currently at a rehabilitation center trying to recover from a traumatic brain injury. My stepdaughter, who was driving, managed to escape with a few broken bones and a concussion. It was her 4-year-old daughter that we lost. I'm grateful that God has led me to listen to your sermon. It helped prepare me for the spiritual and emotional struggles in my heart so that I could stand strong in my faith while we continue to pray for my daughter's complete healing. Please continue to be real in your sermons about death and grief, as they provide a wonderful foundation when things don't go the way we expect them to.
God's Word is such a comfort to so many in difficult times. And if you'd like to share your story, why not drop Pastor Greg an email? Send it to greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. Well, we're considering the biblical facts surrounding the Antichrist today and how the rapture may hasten our exit before the man of lawlessness even arises. Here's Pastor Greg to continue today's study, one of the most requested messages of the year.
So we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and it's at that moment that we receive our new resurrection bodies. And it's also at that moment that we're reunited with loved ones who have preceded us. Bringing me to point number two, why is there a rapture? Listen to this now. Why is there a rapture? Well, back in Thessalonica, there were a lot of Christians, and many of them had died, some from natural causes, some had been martyred for their faith. So there was a concern among the Thessalonian Christians that they would never see their loved ones who had preceded them to heaven. And they wondered if they would miss the rapture. And so Paul writes these words, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who have died, so that you will not grieve as those who have no hope." See, I bring this up because sometimes people say there's no point in studying Bible prophecy. No one can understand it. There's a lot of views, don't study it. No, we need to study Bible prophecy, because if we understand it, it will impact us in the way that we live. And I find great hope from this teaching of the rapture, so I don't have to grieve hopelessly. Listen, Christians grieve, but we grieve hopefully, not hopelessly. I just met a family after first service, and there's a young lady in their family, McKenna, who went to be with the Lord recently, rather unexpectedly. She was 20 years old. McKenna died of a blood clot, and she attended our church, and she wanted her whole family to come and visit our church, and they're all here today. In fact, why don't you guys all stand up? They're all here. The family, stand up. You guys, there they are. So they're all here in honor of McKenna. And, you know, I was talking to them after the first service. And I said, this is, you know, I understand what you're going through. Not completely. It's all different. But, you know, our son went to be with the Lord 10 years ago, as most of you know. And, you know, and Christians grieve. And sometimes one many believers say things like this to people who just lost a loved one. Don't cry, they're in heaven. And the correct biblical answer to that would be, shut up. Because Christians can grieve, and Christians should grieve. They should mourn. Because the Bible says there's a time for mourning and a time for laughing. I mean, Stephen was the first martyr of the early church. He was put to death for his faith, and we read godly men mourned over him. Wait, why are you mourning over him? He went to heaven and saw a vision of Jesus. Yeah, but they missed him. They knew they would see him again, but they missed him. It's okay to mourn. You need to mourn. But we don't mourn hopelessly. We mourn hopefully, because we know we'll see our loved ones again who've gone to heaven. We'll either see them through death. When we die, we'll see them in glory, or we'll see them in the rapture. So imagine this, those of you who have lost loved ones, you could be just going about your business one day, and suddenly, in a moment so quick you can't measure it, the Bible says the rapture will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's pretty fast, isn't it? Twinkling of an eye? It's faster than the blink of an eye. Let's all blink our eyes. One, two, three. Blink. It's faster than that. That's fast. Try to imagine it. I don't think you can wrap your mind around it. You're just walking along. Maybe you're even thinking about your loved one, how much you miss them, how much you wish you could be with them. All of a sudden, boom, you're with them. It's a rapture. Boom, you're there. Reunited with them. The dead in Christ rise first, which means when you die as a Christian, you go to heaven, and we which are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with them. Who? Those who have preceded us will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then Paul says, therefore comfort one another with these words. See, that's the practical side of this teaching. There's no theology without doxology. And that simply means it's great to study doctrine and it's great to study scripture, but what does it mean to me in real life? And that's what it means to you. It means you'll see them again. And that is a great hope that we have as followers of Jesus Christ, caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye to meet them and to meet the Lord. So the rapture is going to come. And sometimes people get confused about the rapture and the second coming. By the way, there are two events. And they're separated by 7 years. Now you want to talk about date setting. I'll tell you when the second coming of Christ is. You want to know? Very simple. It's at the end of the tribulation period. It's during the Battle of Armageddon. Well, when's that? I don't know. But I just know once the church is raptured and Antichrist is revealed, you can do the math and go forward 7 years, and that's when Christ is going to come back at the second coming. But here's the difference. In the rapture, he comes for his church, and the second coming, he comes with his church. In the rapture, he comes as a thief in the night, and in the second coming, every eye will see him. Jesus said, as the lightning shines from the east to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So let's conclude. We've talked about Antichrist. Now let me ask you a question that may surprise you. Are you Antichrist?
What?
Are you saying I could be the Antichrist? No, I didn't ask you that. There's a difference between the Antichrist, the beast, and being Antichrist. That term is used of those who've turned against Jesus and away from the church. 1 John 2:18 says, dear children, the last hour is here, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the end of the world has come. These people left our churches because they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us, and when they left us, it proved they did not belong with us. Remember, Antichrist, anti doesn't just mean against, it means instead of. Now, there can be someone here listening to me or wherever they're watching or hearing this later, and they'll say, well, I'm against Jesus Christ, and I'm against Christians, and I'm against the Bible. Okay, man, you are anti-Christ. You are. But then there can be someone that would say, well, it's not that I'm against Christians. It's just that I have other things in the place of God in my life. It's not that I don't care about God, but I care more about my career, or I care more about my vice, or I care more about my money, or I care more about this relationship. Do you realize that can be a form of anti because it's instead of Christ? And these people were in our church and they left our church and they never came back, proving they were never part of us. So what about people that come to church and you see them for weeks, months, maybe years, and they seem to be a passionate Christian. Then one day they just walk away. Nah, I don't believe in that anymore. I'm not into it. And they never come back to the Lord again. Did they lose their salvation? I would suggest to you maybe they never had salvation. Here's how you know if you're a real Christian. It's where you end up. Christians have lapses of faith. Christians have doubts. Christians fall short and Christians backslide. But if they're real believers, they'll always come home again. They'll always return to the Lord again. But if they never return to the Lord again, I suggest to you they were never Christians to begin with. And in effect, in a strict biblical definition, they're anti-Christ. You do not want to be that person. So let me ask in closing, are you anti-Christ or are you for Christ? Those are your only options. And before you is death and life and heaven and hell. You decide what you'll be. Rapture, it's coming, could come in your lifetime, could come this year, could come this month, could come today. Nothing's standing in the way of it. So I ask you now, are you rapture ready? You say, how do you know if you're rapture ready? Well, here's what you need to do. You need to admit you're a sinner. You need to turn from your sin. You need to ask Christ to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. Also, you're basically saying you need to be a Christian. Bingo. See, if you're a Christian, you've got all of your bases covered. If you're a Christian, it's win, 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 right? So if I die, I go to heaven. If the rapture comes, I'm taken to be with the Lord. I have purpose in this life and hope for the life to come. That's our hope. So that's how you know you're rapture ready, by having Jesus live inside of you. Listen to this. When Jesus comes back for his people, not everybody is going to be caught up to meet him in heaven. Only believers will. There'll be people who are left. You don't want to be that person. So if you're not sure if you're ready for the return of the Lord, if you're not confident that you would go to heaven if you were to die today, why don't you respond to this invitation and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life? He'll forgive you of all of your sin, and you don't have to be afraid of any of the things we've been talking about. You don't have to be afraid of Antichrist or the tribulation period or hell or any of that, because you have hope in Christ and you have the promise of spending eternity with him. If you're not sure of this, let's get this resolved right here, right now. Let's all pray together. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in our place and to rise again from the dead. Now I pray for any that have joined us who do not yet know you. Lord, help them to see their need for you. Help them to come to you and believe in you now. In your name we pray. Amen.
If you'd like to do as Pastor Greg Laurie suggested and get rapture ready, he'll come back in just a moment to lead you in doing that, so stay tuned. It's just too important to tune away. Well, if you missed any part of today's edition of A New Beginning, you can get a replay by going to harvest.org, or for a permanent copy on CD, call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. The message title is Antichrist, America, and the End of Days. And we hope you've ordered your copy of Pastor Greg's brand new book, Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon, a fascinating biography.
I think he's just iconic. He just had his own style and his own sound. Johnny liked to sing about trains. He liked to sing about death and redemption. But so often, from the beginning, middle, and to the end of his career, There was that strong faith in Christ that he put across through his music, including singing at many, many Billy Graham crusades.
But some remember Johnny as much for his misdeeds as his music.
He was just like us. He was flawed. He blew it. He fell and he got up again. He never lost his faith.
Pastor Greg takes you on a journey through the complicated, puzzling, inspiring life of Johnny Cash. You see, no matter how far we fall in life, God's hand is there to pick us up.
The main focus of my book is I want to look at the faith roots of Johnny, his struggle, and his strong faith, especially in the end of his life.
Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon. The new book from Greg Laurie and Marshall Terrell is available now. And we'll be glad to send you a copy to thank you for your investment so these daily studies can continue. The only way we can be here is through the support of our listeners. Call 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. Pastor Greg, you mentioned our need to come to Christ for forgiveness of sin in today's study.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's somebody listening who'd like to do that, they'd like to take that step. Maybe you could help them with that right now.
I'd be delighted to. Listen, if you would like to accept Jesus Christ into your life right now, and by that I mean if you would like your sin forgiven and have the assurance that you will go to heaven when you die, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and rising again from the dead. I'm sorry for my sin, Lord, and I turn from it now, and I put my faith in you to be my Savior, my Lord, my God, and my friend. Thank you for loving me and calling me and accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer in a minute, I want you to know on the authority of God's word that Jesus Christ has just come to take residence in your heart. The Bible says, these things we write to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Listen, we want to send you some resources that will help you grow spiritually. So here's Dave with some details. And let me say, God bless you. And welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and those resources Pastor Greg mentioned are all included in something we call our New Believers Growth Packet. It'll help you get started in living your life for the Lord. Can we send it to you? Just ask for the New Believers Growth Packet. Our mailing address is A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Well, on our next program, we take you back in time, 1977. Jimmy Carter had just taken office. A new movie called Star Wars makes box office gold, and gasoline is just 62 cents a gallon. And who's that preaching? Why, it's a 24-year-old Greg Laurie. We'll step into the time machine and have a listen next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.